What's up, Wake? Oh, guys. I know a lot of you guys just got out of school, so you should be full of energy and excitement for the summer. I said, what's up, guys? Come on.
Let's go.
If we haven't met yet, my name's Parker, and I have the privilege of kicking off our new series for this summer. As you can see on the screen, it's called Replay. And so we're going to be talking about Bible stories that you need to hear again. And what I mean by that is the stories that you know, if you grew up in church or even you haven't gone to church and you've heard of some of these stories like Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, you know, even like the birth of Jesus, how about the fiery furnace? You know, really popular Bible stories. And we figured as a team, we're like, let's talk about, you know, the Bible stories that everyone knows, but let's talk about the significance of why they're in the Bible and dig a little bit deeper into what they tell us about who God is and about who we are. And so that's what I'm going to do today is we're going to jump in, and I'm going to jump in with the first one, which is Noah's Ark. Raise your hand if you've heard of Noah's Ark. Exactly. Now, I want a few people to raise their hand and just say some things that you know about Noah's Ark, just from the story. Pen. God tells Noah to build an ark. What else?
Noah and his family were blessed.
Noah and his family were blessed. What else? Right here.
They like trusted God, and then he built a boat, and all the people made fun of him.
Yeah.
Rained.
Yeah, it rained. That's good. What else?
Two pairs of each animal were on the boat.
Yep. There's two pairs of each animal on the boat, all the way in the back. Lincoln. Exactly. That's good. What else? Let's go two more. Jonah.
People made fun of Noah when he was building an ark.
Yep. What else?
That might have been the first rainbow.
Really? The first rainbow. That's a good one. Not a lot of people know about that. Now I'm going to talk about it. Okay, put your hands down. Honestly, like, I could take the mic off, and I think you guys know the story, right? But I want to talk a little bit more about what we can learn from it, that even as I opened it up today, and I've studied Noah's story for a long time, and sometimes I can be prone to be like, man, I know that story. Like, I got it. Like, I'm all good. But I think every time we open up God's word, he has something to teach us. And that's my hope today, that he has something to teach you as well. And so we're going to be looking at Noah's story. So if you look in the Bible, Noah's Ark is in Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, Genesis 6 through chapter 9. And so I'm going to read some scripture, but that's a lot of scripture to cover. And so I'm going to summarize a lot of the story of Noah's Ark, and I'm going to dive into specific details, but I'm going to try to do a quick overview, and then what we're really going to do in this time is we're going to answer three questions. What was the flood? Why did the flood happen? And then what can we learn from the flood? And so those are the three questions that I am going to answer, and God is going to help us understand through scripture. So first one is, what was the flood? And a fair question, did it actually happen? Because a worldwide flood, did that actually happen? That sounds like, I don't know. And so it's really important that we look at what scripture says in the context of scripture to see what really happened, what the flood actually was. And so, in Genesis 6:15, somebody said, God instructed Noah to take his family and build the ark. And so that's what we're going to read. In Genesis 6:15, it says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits, its breadth is 500 cubits, and its height is 30 cubits. And you're probably like, cubits? Like, we don't learn what cubits is. Like, we don't use that anymore. And to put it into simple terms, it was 510 feet long. 510 feet long and 50 feet tall. Imagine that. If you were to translate that into something we all know, let's take a normal football field, which is 120 yards. It is 1.5 football fields long. That's how big the ark was. That's amazing that Noah spent the time to build that ark and it was that long. And then, what somebody else said it, God instructed Noah to take 7 pairs of clean animals. So 2 pairs of each clean animal. He's like, hey, bring them on in the ark to preserve the animals. And there's a reason for that. And then somebody else said, hey, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And what they said about the water, this is pretty amazing. They said that the water grew to such a height that it actually reached the top of mountains. And I'll talk a little bit more about how we can prove that the flood actually did happen, because we have remains from the flood that it wouldn't have been possible for, you know, fish and for animals that live in the sea to be up. Their remains, their fossils are at the top of the mountains. And how would they be able to get up there? Only if there was a flood, right? So we're going to keep going. In Genesis 8:34, this is what happens. We're going to, you know, God sends rain. It starts flooding. Noah's built the ark. And then what happens after that? And it says right here, it says, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated, which means they subside, they decrease, they were gone. And in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the Mount of Ararat. So it took about 40 days for the waters to completely go. And then for it to dry off, they had to wait another 7 days. And somebody else said, hey, they sent a dove. And so they sent a dove out. Noah sent it out of the ark to go see if there would be dry land. And at first they sent a raven. The raven came back, nothing. They sent a dove, and the dove came back with an olive branch, which means that, you know, there's dry land. That means that they are free to go. And so imagine you build an ark that's a football field and a half. You take your family, you get on the ark. You take animals, you get on the ark, and you're like, I don't know really what I trust God, but I don't really know what I'm doing. Then it rains for 40 days. You're stuck on the boat for 150 days, and then you wait another 7 days to get off. And that takes a lot of faith. Noah had a lot of faith in God that he trusted him. And whenever they got off the boat, he made an altar to the Lord and praised God and said, God, thank you for all that you've done, that you preserved me, that you've been faithful to me, even when it's been hard. And I've trusted you. And so, God, because Noah obeyed God, because God wanted to bless them, somebody else said that, like God wanted to bless Noah. He says in Genesis 9:12-13, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between you and every living creature that is with you. For all generations, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a covenant between me and the earth. And that's the rainbow. So if you guys didn't know this, God's promise to Noah was, hey, I'm never going to flood the earth again. And my sign for you is a rainbow. Did you guys know that the rainbow is a sign that God's promise that he would never flood the earth again? And let me take it a step further. If you look at a rainbow with the little arch, it reminds you of a bow and arrow, right? And so what's significant about this rainbow bow and arrow is that it's pointed up to the heavens, that it's facing the heavens, that God said, hey, I'm going to make my promise that I'm never going to flood the earth again. And just so that you can put me to the test. You can put a quiver and a bow towards me because I'm going to be faithful to my promises. And that's pretty amazing. When I heard that, I was like, what? Are you kidding? Like, God's putting himself to the test that he's faithful, that he is going to be true to his promises. And so, the rainbow in the sky. So we talk about, hey, God told Noah, build an ark, take animals on the ark. I'm going to preserve you and lead you in the midst of flooding the earth. and you have to trust me. And so he trusted God. He did that. And then they saw that there was dry land. They got off on the dry land, began to scatter across the earth. And then God promised that he will never flood the earth again. And so that's the story of Noah's Ark. But let's get a little bit into the details and answer the question, why did the flood happen? Because I bet a lot of you guys are sitting there and you're like, whew. Like, why would God flood the earth? That doesn't make any sense. And it's a hard question to answer, but we have it right here in Scripture. It says in Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And so, guys, man, people were evil. They had turned from God, and they continued to not follow God to the point where they weren't turning back towards God. They had gone so far to their own ways that they were not repentant to God. And we're probably like, man, like that seems pretty cruel. That seems pretty tough. But if we look back to Adam and Eve, that's where it all started, when they didn't trust God, that his plan was better, and sin entered the world. And through their family, sin continued to increase more. It didn't get any better. It continued to get worse. People were using other people for slavery. They were being unkind. And evil continued to keep growing more and more, and to turn from God. And God didn't just, you know, from where he was to just be like, all right, like, I'm just going to wipe them all out. Like, I'm so upset that man continues to turn from me, so I'm just going to get rid of them entirely. But we see in the verse after verse 5 in Genesis 6:6, it says that God was sad that man was going his own way. It says, the Lord regretted that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And God grieved that man turned to sin, and that the flood was actually God's intervention to stop humanity from continuing to slide into more evil, to continue to go into their own way. It was God showing mercy to show them, hey, this isn't the way. The way is to follow me, to be with me, and you're continuing to turn from me. And so that's what led to the flood. God's grief led to the flood. And God was wanting to recreate the world, to start over like it was back in Eden. And God wanted to do that, to show that. But he also wanted to showcase something that I think is important, that I don't think we'd be true to this story if we didn't talk about it. That God was showing who he was, his authority, his power, and also that he hates sin. That he wants to get rid of sin, and that he judges sin. And so he wants us to start new, but he's showing his judgment that ultimately is going to showcase itself later when we talk about Jesus. And that ultimately God one day is going to completely get rid of evil once and for all. And in the next verse, it says, so the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So there's good news in this story, that God saw Noah, saw that he was righteous, that he trusted God, that he had faith in God, that he was in relationship with God. And he said, hey, I'm going to preserve, you know, yes, I'm going to eliminate evil and suffering and sin in this world, but I'm going to preserve humanity. I still have hope in these people, even though they turn from me. And Noah wasn't perfect. I want that to be clear. Noah was not perfect, but he trusted God and he followed God. And he did what he was commanded to do. And so God was going to bless Noah and use Noah to continue to be faithful to his promises. And so we take that whole story, we talk about, hey, God was grieved by man's sin. That's why the flood happened, to prevent them from continuing to go their own way. Because who would it, I mean, I can't even imagine what that would have looked like. And that's kind of hard to reconcile of, hey, God, you know, wiped out people, but also he's faithful to bring them back to him, to bring and remind humanity that God is who you should trust. And so what can we learn from this? Because I think there's a lot that we can take away. I think it's that God grieves our brokenness and our sin, that he's not mad and disappointed. God was not mad at the people. God was mad at sin. I think that's really important to distinguish, that God was upset and angry about sin because he hates sin. It separates us from God. It separates us from trusting God. It distracts us from believing that God is who he says he is and that his plan is better for us. So God was grieved. And he's grieved for our brokenness and our sin. And then I think another thing this story showcases, if we just look at Noah and how God preserved Noah, I think it teaches us that God saves us from his wrath, from his elimination. What that means is to eliminate sin, to punish sin. That I think God saves Noah from judgment. And it's pointing to show how God saves us from our own sin, that he provides that. And I think that this is pointing really to something bigger ahead, because I talked about, hey, we want to open up these Bible stories that you guys all know. And we want to talk about, what does this teach us about God? And what this teaches us about God is that he saves. He saves people. No matter the brokenness, no matter the sin, he saves us. And he wants to restore us back to relationship with him. But sin has separated us from God, that we went our own way, we didn't trust him, and we were separated from him. And so God had to intervene. Just like he intervened in the flood, God intervened in a bigger way. And he did it through his son, Jesus. That Jesus came, fully God, fully man, lived a perfect life. He never sinned once, so that he could die on the cross for the sins that we deserve, because the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ. That Jesus came, died on the cross for our sins, so that we can be in relationship with God. And it's not based on our own doing, our own work. You can't try hard enough to get God to love you. He loves you so much, and he came to save you, and he wants you to be in relationship with him. And how this is connected to the story is, instead of the righteous being saved in Noah's story, when Jesus came, he was the righteous one that died, so that the unrighteous, the people that were full of sin, full of wickedness, that turned to evil, could be saved. That's us. That's pointing to Jesus. That Jesus would lay his life down. And that he would take, you know, the wrath that I talked about, of God's wrath, God's hatred of sin, was put out on Jesus on the cross. That Jesus was killed for our sins so that we could be in relationship with him. And that's the good news. That's the good news of this story, is it reminds us of what Jesus did, that he saved us from punishment. He saved us from our own sin so that we could be in relationship with him and walk with him. And I want to leave you guys, we've been talking, you know, read, reflect, receive. I want to leave you guys with something to think about this week. And what I want you guys to look at in scripture is Genesis 6, 5 through 8. Read those verses. We went through them. And I want you guys to reflect on this question. How can God be merciful in the flood? Mercy, withholding punishment from people. How can he be merciful in the midst of the flood? And what I want you guys, my bottom line is just God gives mercy even in our sinfulness. Even when we turn from him, he gives us mercy. And I also want to recognize, hey, the story of Noah is a complicated story. It's a hard thing to wrap your mind around. And sometimes it's hard. Hey, I've got a lot of questions. And I think those are good questions to have, good things to wrestle through. And I think those are things that not only does God want you to talk to him about, but also to talk to other people about, to ask questions, to look into yourself. And I think what I want to leave with you guys is in the midst of all this story, some parts are gray, some parts are hard, to remind ourselves that, hey, God is faithful to his promises, that he loves you, and that we can trust him. We can trust him all throughout Scripture. His plan was to show his love for us. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I just thank you for who you are, the fact that you love us, that you want relationship with us. And God, thank you for the story of Noah, to remind us not only of Noah's faithfulness, but also, God, to remind us of the ways that we can turn to sin and turn from you. And God, how you intervened in the midst of that to have mercy on us. And God, I pray that we'd be reminded that you are near, that you love us, that you want us to be with you. And God, would you help us to reflect on that? I pray for small groups as we go out and talk about this story, that you would lead our discussion to be fruitful and to be reminding of who you are. And God, we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.